Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Rini. Welcome to Rini's Heart to Heart. Thank you for joining me tonight. I have a couple things I'd like to talk about tonight, and one of them is something that's very near and dear to me, and it's sense of humor. Something very strange happened today with me on Facebook. Now, if you know me personally, which I know some of you do, I make fun of myself. I make fun of a lot of things. I am one of those kind of people who, if things are feeling a little strained and a little uncomfortable, I'm pretty apt to make a joke or make fun of myself in some way or do something to lighten up the atmosphere. And I also am an avid user of one-liners to just, you know, because I like to laugh and I think it's healthy to laugh. And if you don't have a sense of humor, you're missing out on a very, very important aspect of your life. Tonight on Facebook, there was a picture of Jon Bon Jovi and his new restaurant. And in it, he says that there's no prices on the food. You can pay whatever you can afford. No one is ever turned away. So there were lots of comments about him and the fact that he might be a vegan. And for those of you who don't know, I was a vegan for a while. That was very difficult for me, but I am a vegetarian now. I don't eat any red meat or turkey or pork or anything or chicken or anything like that for lots of different reasons. But, and I'm also very respectful of people who are dedicated and focused enough to keep themselves on a program that isn't, you know, largely respected by everyone and isn't commonplace when you go out with a crowd and things like that. Takes a lot of stamina and a lot of strength to believe in something like that and stay that way. So great respect for anybody who does anything like that or anybody who believes in anything for that matter and sticks to their guns and does what they believe is right for them. Very respectful of that. So anyway, there's this picture of Jon Bon Jovi, and everybody's talking about, you know, well, I think he's a vegan. Well, I don't know if he's a vegan, but I think he's this. And I said, who cares what he eats? I just like looking at him. Now, obviously, this is a totally harmless thing. I'm 65 years old. He's an adorable rock star. I was just being funny. I was, as far as I'm concerned, I was attacked like I had said something really horrible. And most of the people don't even know me. One person knows me. And I went back on and I said, God, everybody, lighten up. It was a joke. Well, we don't joke about things like that. It's terrible. Anybody who eats animal flesh, I don't care if he's the sexiest man alive. Everybody went on and on. I was like, oh my goodness. All because I said, I don't care what he eats. I just like looking at him. Oh my heavens. So it made me think tonight that I wanted to remind everybody that no matter what is going on in your life and no matter what struggles you have, and leave me tell you, my life has ups and downs that are bigger than any roller coaster you've ever been on in your life, but I still enjoy laughing. I still enjoy picking fun at myself and my loved ones. We are known. My family is known for picking on each other and laughing at each other. Why? Because we love each other, and you can do that when you love each other. So if your sense of humor isn't up to par, along with all the other things that you have to work on, please, it will make your life a lot more pleasurable if you just lighten up and have a wonderful sense of humor. So that brings me to my main topic, however. I read some more information today, and a lot of it was written by Izzy Kaplan, the gentleman that will be joining us tomorrow night. And one of the things that he brings up that I think bears some discussion, and that is bullying versus criminal behavior. Does everybody understand the difference there? Because I wonder, because we've kind of lost sight. Like for me, a lot of people called what happened to my grandson bullying. That went pretty far for bullying. A lot of people call what happened to Josie Ratley an act of, started with text bullying and moved on and was still referred to as bullying. However, it was a real act of violence. And many of the things that we've witnessed and many of the things that I've talked to everybody about, many of the things that I've read about on the internet, many of the videos that have been sent to me are, without a shadow of a doubt, way beyond bullying. They are acts of violence. Acts of violence and perpetrated crimes against another person that causes bodily harm or injures the other person in any way, shape, or form is punishable by our system. It means the enforcers arrest you, the judicial system judges you, and then you're incarcerated. However, bullying is another story. Bullying is often a lot more silent. We've talked before about the fact that to witness bullying sometimes is not easy, because sometimes it's very covert. A lot of times it's whispering in somebody's ear about, you know, sorry about your size, sorry about this, sorry about that, ha, 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 and walking away. Or I heard about your, like what happened to Wayne Tracy, you know, you should go join your brother, things like that. Those things are bullying. They're not actual perpetrated crimes. So this is another place where when Izzy talks to us about how you're going to deal with it, this is another place that makes having rules and regulations and having somebody find out who's right and who's wrong isn't always going to work. If two kids take a swing at each other, you know, the one that's the most beat up is probably going to be the one that cries the hardest. That's pretty easy to look at and figure out who hurt who. But words and other actions, like I said, covert actions, are different to judge. So I do think we need to really get in our heads what is what, whether bullying is an act of violence or bullying is what leads to an act of violence, which is what I think is the truer scenario. I think that in many cases, somebody who's being bullied all the time actually has become one of the perpetrators and fought back, and they're the ones that inevitably get in trouble. This is why the whole idea that Izzy has brought up to turn things around and try to make a friend, a buddy, out of the person that's just bugging you with words, just hurting you, hurting your feelings, things like that. Try to turn it around, because at that point in time, it's still something that can be saved. One of the things he brings up in this is, please realize that bullying is not criminal behavior. Acts like assault and battery, rape, theft, and murder are true crimes, and people who commit them deserve to be punished. The purpose of anti-bullying laws is to criminalize any behavior that cannot upset anyone else. Things like name-calling, rumors, gestures, social exclusion, nasty postings in cyberspace, and the non-injurious physical acts that are typical in childhood. Even we adults regularly engage in the acts that are defined today as bullying. And we've talked about that at length, and we know that that's true. Most of the acts of bullying are actually protected by the First Amendment. The real reason the New Jersey anti-bullying law is unconstitutional is not that it is an unfunded mandate, but that it is a violation of the First Amendment. If you have two or more children of your own, you can conduct your own mini-test of the effectiveness of the law. For 1 week, treat your kids the same way schools are now mandated to treat their students. Monitor everything they say and do to each other and stop them from doing or saying anything negative to each other. Whenever you get a complaint from one of them that the sibling treated them badly, conduct an investigation, punish the wrongdoer, and/or send him for therapy. Good luck with that. Don't be surprised to discover that they are viciously fighting all the time, that they hate each other and you, and that you have no time left for anything else in your life. By the way, there is a good chance that you are already doing this. That's why sibling rivalry is a problem that plagues most families. When you discover how futile it is to try to force your own kids to be nice to each other, perhaps you feel some pity for schools that need to comply with draconian anti-bullying laws. So, I think that those paragraphs sum up the real problem. And again, the simplicity of it is being nice to each other. The simplicity of it is, Thumper's mother said to him in Bambi, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. All of those simple rules would make a big difference in our world. You have to be nicer to each other. So now, this puts everything into a different perspective, does it not? Do you understand that when you draw lines about something that's whispered in somebody's ear, or something that's written on a bathroom wall, or something that's even put on a Facebook page, without a lot of investigation, let's face it, anybody could have put it there. It could have been put someplace else, and Facebook might have transferred it. I don't know about all of you, but there's been many things that come up on my page that I didn't have anything to do with, don't even know anything about it. So, again, we're talking about a whole different ballgame. One is criminal, one isn't, is to the person that it's being perpetrated on, but really isn't when you try to make laws to get it under control. So I think that some of this made a lot of sense to me, made me feel I hadn't even thought, to be honest with everybody, about the difference between somebody hurting somebody and calling it a bully act and somebody just plaguing somebody for their entire life. I have mentioned on the air of some of the older people that have called me. And some of them have spoken on the show. We had John yesterday. We've had Gary talk. We've had Shelley talk. We've had a couple other people talk about things that have happened to them. Susie, who suffered with weight issues, and she talked on the show one day. Pardon me, and that's followed her most of her life as well because she still struggles with her weight. And we've talked to a lot of people about the things that keep going on with them. But in truth, when you talk about a vicious crime, which is some of the things that we talk about, that's no longer a case of bullying. That's a case of a out-and-out crime perpetrated against another human being. So it does fall under a different criteria. So let's open up. Shelley is joining us. And as you all know, I mentioned last night that she's taking off for across the big pond and going to Germany. And she'll be gone for all next week. So we have to get, you know, we have to make her earn her keep this week. Hi, honey. How are you?
Hi, Rainey. I'll make sure I earn my keep.
Okay. That means you get to do most of the talking, and I'll just suck on this cough drop again like I've been doing for the last 4 weeks.
There you go. Well, first of all, that was a great opening, and you know, I have so much to say about the sense of humor part of it, because that I find that astonishing. First of all, that you said, you know, for people that know you, you have an adorable sense of humor. I mean, you could just crack anybody up at any time. You have a refreshing sense of humor. You don't make fun of things, you make light of them. And there's a big difference,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
Because we talked one night about, you know, like some of these shock jocks, and I find the humor very offensive, and it desensitizes people and things like that. That's not where your
mm-hmm.
humor comes from. Your humor just comes from a place of, like, lighten up everybody. And,
yes.
And that's healthy,
yes.
you know?
I think so.
And if there's any vegetarians or vegans listening to the show, the one thing I would say is that, you know, I've been a vegetarian for over 10 years. I was vegan for several years. I was even a raw foodist for 2.5 years. That's how I healed myself. You know, for people that don't know my story, I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I was catastrophically ill for 3 decades. And
mm-hmm.
and I went vegetarian, vegan, and then raw foodist in order to heal my body, which I did for 2.5 years being a raw foodist. So it's a very hard lifestyle to maintain if you're not in a family with other raw foodists.
Mm-hmm.
So slowly I went back to being a vegan, and then now I'm a vegetarian, and I still eat some raw food, but I also eat vegetarian. The reason
mm-hmm.
I'm saying
Me
all
too.
This is because
mm-hmm.
I'm very lighthearted about it, because one of the things I realized a long time ago is that if I get up on my soapbox and I demand everybody around me to be vegetarian or vegan, then I'm missing out on, number one, some valuable people in my life, and
yes.
number two, on the opportunity to subtly inspire people. Now, I want people to pay attention to that, because if you're passionate about something, then live that way. But you can't force people by guilting them
mm-hmm.
into taking on a different lifestyle. Live your way passionately, okay? When people question you about it, answer them. But don't lecture people, and don't make people feel bad, because they're not there yet. They may never be there, or it may happen at a later time. I've actually had a few people in my family and some friends that, you know, like, emphatically thought I was a nut when I became a vegetarian. But
mm-hmm.
because I laughed at it, and I was like, well, I mean, my one uncle called me a veghead.
mm-hmm.
But I just laughed
mm-hmm.
at it. I mean, he was a sweet man. He didn't mean it to hurt my feelings, you know. But some of my friends and family, years down the road, when they saw my health getting better and better, and they saw that I was still doing it, they ended up trying it. And
mm-hmm.
some people close to me now are vegetarians as well. So
mm-hmm.
it's like, but I subtly influence these people. I didn't alienate them. They're still in my life. I can go out to a restaurant and be the only vegetarian there and not offended when people order meat. And the
mm-hmm.
reason for that is not because I'm not passionate about being a vegetarian, but not everybody is where I am. I was a meat eater for many, many years. I wasn't a bad person when I was a meat eater. I hadn't embraced the lifestyle yet. And if somebody had spoken to me the way some vegetarians and vegans who are a little fanatical speak, I probably never would have become one. It was
mm-hmm.
because I read a book by John Robbins called Diet for a New America. And in that book, he's very kind. He basically just puts the information out there, gives people the pros and cons of becoming a vegetarian, and said, look, you know, you may not be ready yet, but these are the facts. This is why I became a vegetarian, and you should at least consider it. And I'm telling you right now, if you take that stance with people, you'll at least get their attention, and they might listen to you. But,
mm-hmm.
but you have to have a sense of humor about it. I have people in my life that are vegetarians, that are raw foodists, that are meat eaters, that have all different lifestyles, and I love them all dearly. They're all very important to me, and I'm very passionate about my lifestyle, and I stick to it. But I have a sense of humor about it. I mean, some of my friends say some pretty rough things, but they say it not to be mean to me. They say it to tease me, and because I laugh at it and go along with it, they're still my friends, and they respect me even more. And now, because I didn't go off on them about my lifestyle, some of them look at it. I have one friend that goes out with me all the time, and when we go out, he is a guy that I work with up at this manufacturing plant I work with, and when we go out, he goes to a vegan restaurant. He's a meat eater. But when he goes out with me, because I took the ribbing from him and just laughed it off and never took offense at it, now he enjoys going out with me, and when we go out, we go to Dobster's, which is a vegan restaurant in Lake Worth. And it's by his choice, because I'll go, he knows that I'll go to any restaurant, but he chooses to go to a vegan restaurant with me just because he developed respect for me because I wasn't fanatical. And that's an important point. If you're just kind of nonchalant about it, people will respect you and listen to you more than if you get on your soapbox and try to browbeat them or guilt them into making a different lifestyle. Just be passionate about it, and people will be inspired by how you live your own life. It makes it easier on you, and it makes it easier on the people that are around you.
So well, a great majority of my friends in the last several years are, of course, people who live at the very least a vegetarian lifestyle. And I've never seen them without a sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
And when I addressed this afternoon and said, I'm shocked. I cannot believe that I was attacked. Well, I don't, and the return was, I don't think you were attacked. I just can't abide anybody that feels that way or makes light of something like eating the flesh of animals. And I thought, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's too over the top.
You know, that's like, you know, so you must not have hardly any friends, is the truth of the matter. I mean, and if you talk to them like that, I mean, it's like everything else, different strokes for different folks. And if you don't respect that, then you're missing out on everything we're talking about, Shelley. Everything
exactly.
We're talking about is acceptance of other people's choices, acceptance
right.
of other lifestyles, other choices about what you eat, who you date, what you wear, all of the above. Like your new favorite saying there about it's none of my business how you feel about me.
Yeah, I love
right?
that. Right? I love that.
And
you know?
the point is that it isn't anybody's business about us, unless you're discussing it with somebody, unless you want somebody's feedback, sharing with somebody and sharing back with somebody is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm a big advocate of talking, and I'm a big advocate of not being embarrassed to share certain things with people that you care about and you know you can trust. But on the same token, if I share with them, it means I love them enough and know they love me enough to not pass judgment on me. Otherwise, I'm not sharing
exactly.
with them. And
exactly.
that's one of the things that we're trying to get across to people on this show, you know.
And
so,
the bottom line is you can't pass judgment on anybody else because they're in a different place than you are right now. The easiest thing to do if you're passionate about something. And I'll get off this topic in a minute because I want to get back into what you were talking about with the bullying and being criminal and all that. But the final comment I'll make about this, okay, is because I am passionate about being a vegetarian, and I do talk about the reasons why it's a good choice for health reasons, as far as the environmental impact, because factory farming is doing catastrophic damage to our natural resources and things like that. So there's legitimate reasons why people are passionate about being vegetarian and why they try to inspire other people, but that's the key. Inspire people to look at that lifestyle by educating them and giving them facts, but do it in a respectful way, do it in an informative way, and let people make their own choices in their own time, which may be next week, next year, or in 10 years from now, or never.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom
mm-hmm.
line is, give them the facts, and then let them make their own decisions. And a lot of people, once they have the facts in front of them, will at least give it a shot. I've seen that happen over and over and over again when I just soft-sell it with information. So that's my final advice to anybody who is passionate like that. there is a way to get people's attention without going to guilt playing or things like that, or getting up on your soapbox. It's just to be gently informative and let people make their own minds up.
Right, and that, I mean, all of that is true, but again, even if you think it's a horrible thing, even if you are just appalled by somebody eating a cow, I mean, forever, there have been religions and different groups of people that have cherished specific animals, specific rituals and things like that, which should be, you know, always, like I said before, appreciated and respected. It doesn't mean that that's what you have to do, but it does mean it needs to be respected. And I didn't think my little comment tonight about John Bon Jovi was being disrespectful. And when I realized that that's what they thought, I guess I could have gone at it from another point of view. I could have said, geez, I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I'm a vegetarian too. I was just saying it to be funny because of all the guys I've ever looked at. And, you know, it's ludicrous to think that, you know, I could really have a crush on John Bon Jovi, but he's always been one of those guys that I thought was just really cute. So that's why I said it. I didn't say it to slam anything about what he eats, what he doesn't eat, nothing. Or what anybody else believes in.
Right, it was more a commentary on how cute he is than anything else.
That was all it was. And to have it greeted that way floored me. I mean, floored me. So, and I must tell you that I think because of that, I think that I needed to talk about that tonight because I thought to myself, you know, do you think it's really true that none of the people that I know, I mean, I worked for Brian Clement for 10 years, a diehard vegan. I could have said that to him, and he'd have cracked up.
Yep.
He would have thought that was...
I mean, like I said, I have a sense of humor. I have been teased so much, but I realized a long time ago that if I got offended, people would just see me as a fanatic, and then I wouldn't have the opportunity to share with them from time to time. You know, I wait for people to ask questions. I'm not, you know, I'm not obnoxious about it, but if somebody asks me a question, then I tell them why I made that choice. And then it really gets their attention, and then they want to know more.
That's right. And it's very similar to religion.
I have fun with
you know.
It. The bottom line
is
I have fun with it, and some of the jokes are kind of funny, even though, you know, I'm the
Do you remember way back when, before I became a vegetarian, you would make me sandwiches with sprouts and whole grain bread and all this kind of stuff. And you were like, and vegan mayonnaise and everything. And I'd be like, they're delicious, Shell. They're delicious.
Yep.
You know, if you want to come home and just cook for me and I'll cook for the other 10 people that are there, you know, that all want chicken and dumplings and baked ham and meatloaf and all that stuff, then we'll be good to go, you know. And as it sits now, you know what I do now. I prepare something for everybody else and something different for myself. And that's the way I've lived now for, it's been like 7 years since I became a vegetarian. So, and again, I'm respectful of all of those things, but it's a lot like religion, you know. Some people are, you know, over the wall, and they think that if you don't believe what they believe, then, you know, you need your head examined. So, but the big thing that I wanted to stress is please lighten up. Life is way too short, can be way too angry and way too sad, and if you don't have a sense of humor, it'll get you. It will get you. You have to be able
to
laugh.
Right, it comes down to not taking yourself so seriously, which is something else we talked about.
Yeah.
You can be a little lighthearted and playful about things that affect you. First of all, it's just simply a healthier way to live. And then it
mm-hmm.
puts you actually in a place, believe it or not, of not being bullied. Because if you're just not taking things seriously, like I told you, it used to happen to me at work and stuff like that, people would say
yep.
things that they meant to hurt me, but I chose not to take them, and I'd smile or laugh or act like I thought it was a joke, and then they were totally deflated because that wasn't the reaction they were going for. But it never went anywhere because I nipped it in the bud. I assumed, because I wanted to, that it was a joke, and it kept me up. My blood pressure stayed nice and steady. I didn't get aggravated. I walked around in a good mood, you know. So having a sense of humor and being lighthearted is healthy for you, and it actually benefits the people around you. Because even if they're trying to be mean to you, they have no choice but to smile back at me because I smiled at them. They really had no
exactly.
choice.
Exactly.
Put them in a better place, though.
Yep,
you know?
And yeah, I agree with all of that. And of course, like I said, it's you can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. But I did think it was worth bringing it up because, well, for one thing, it hurt my feelings, and you know how I am about that. So, but let's go back to this. I found this one article that Izzy sent me. Even though I realized this, I have never put this into words in regard to the bullying versus the actual crime of you know, really hurting somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting distinction.
It is, because I guess I was just always thinking that, I don't know, that you weren't going to arrest a kid in school for, like, remember the one I told you about where they dragged him around the classroom, the eighth grader?
Yes.
And I thought to myself, that night, I watched it again after the show, and I thought to myself, what will they do with all those kids? What will be the punishment for that kind of an act? He wasn't hurt. His feelings were hurt. His, I'm sure his self-esteem is shot all to hell. But they didn't, you know, there's no marks on them. There's no cuts on them, no bruises on them. None of those kind of things would show an actual act of violence. And probably, I've never seen any statistics, all the statistics that I've read to us and researched, I've never seen anything that differentiates. And, of course, this is why, because once it goes past just picking and poking and bothering and hurting feelings and doing things like that, then it becomes an actual crime.
Exactly.
So that's probably why there's no statistics about that.
And I think there's a huge difference between tormenting somebody verbally, which can absolutely take a toll on somebody, just wears them down over a while, and actually invading their physical space. There is an amped up, an intensified level of what's the word I'm looking for? When you invade somebody's physical space and you accost them, whether it's jabbing
mm-hmm.
them with a pencil or dragging them around a room or punching them, that escalates. Because now when you physically touch somebody, that's an invasion. That goes beyond just insults and making somebody feel bad or something like that, or hurting their feelings, because now you're starting to make them feel unsafe. You know,
well,
there's one thing to say things to them that hurt their feelings, but now you're making them feel unsafe. And
mm-hmm.
I think there's a difference. To me, there's a difference there. And there should be a difference in the way it's looked at with regard to how somebody's going to respond to it, whether it's going to get criminalized if it turns into something physical over something just abusive. I think there's a difference between abuse and physical harm.
So do I. But okay, so let's take that back to the beginning. When you say when somebody invades your personal space and puts their hands on you.
Right.
I mean, those are famous words from a mom that has four kids all under the age of five, because I know I was one. And one of my famous lines was, don't anybody touch anybody else. If I turn around and you're touching your brother, or you're touching your sister, or you got your hands on each other, you're going to be in trouble. Because that means, you know, this is when they're fighting, you know, when everybody's bickering in the back seat of the car, whatever it might be, keep your hands to yourself. So, because I can hear the words, okay? I'm driving the car. I can hear when they, even if they whisper, I can hear them. They're right behind me. But I can't see when one of them pushes the other one's leg, or I can't see when one of them pulls the other one's hair because I can't watch them. So those were famous lines, and I'm sure every mother in the world will testify to the fact that you say, absolutely say a million times or better, keep your hands to yourself. So it's an interesting fact that you bring that up, because, of course, that is when bodily harm can happen. Because what if some of these stories that I've read, it's very rare that somebody gets a pencil poked at them and they turn around and take a swing. But on a couple occasions, I've read such things. And the night that I talked about, the night my granddaughter got jumped at the high school, and she turned around and took a swing at the girl and actually got the better of the altercation, she was suspended as well. So this is one of the things that we talked about when we said, you know, there's a no bully tolerance. And everybody, if you touch each other, if you push each other, if there's any kind of bodily altercation, then you both get suspended.
It cannot be that ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think I agree. And I've talked about that a lot of times, that just doesn't seem fair to me. I understand it when there's no video. I understand it when a teacher just has to take your word over my word or vice versa. Then it's kind of hard because, you know, we all know how that goes. But if there's a video, which in most of the schools today there is, and in most of the restaurants, there's a way to find out who started everything. And the person who starts everything is the one that should be getting in trouble. Otherwise, you're teaching our children to just take it all the time, and that's not good for their morale, it's not good for their self-esteem, and it's not good for who they're supposed to be. And I do notice that there's not a lot of talk about that, and in all the statistics that I've read, there isn't a lot about it. What Izzy says in most of his articles is, when you keep in one of the comments in this latest one that I've been reading is he says, not through law enforcement, through education, is there no solution to the bullying crisis? Fortunately, there is, and not only is the solution essentially free, it quickly saves the school's money. But it will be necessary to abandon our most basic assumptions about bullying and how to deal with it. First of all, we need to stop treating it like a crime. Only acts that cause objective harm to bodies or property should be treated as crimes. Okay, so that's very clearly what we're talking about.
Right.
And then the other thing is to teach our kids to acquire the wisdom it takes to be smart enough to not be taken in by somebody who's picking on them.
Right, right. Let me ask a question, because I'm still reading the manual that Izzy had on the site. I'm only about halfway through it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read anything in any of his articles yet where he specifically addresses what to do if, in fact, you are being physically bullied? Because everything I've read so far is the mental torment, and where they're trying to draw you in, and that can drive you crazy. So I'm not belittling it, okay? But there is a difference between emotional abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse, and actually accosting somebody and actually causing physical harm. So has he addressed that in any of the articles you've read so far?
No, he has not. And that is one of my questions to ask him tomorrow night.
Okay.
So it's funny
that
you brought it up.
sure he has information. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Well, I think one of the things that he's talking about, even in the article that I'm reading tonight to everybody, is the fact that then it becomes the job of the enforcers. And he doesn't mean the principal or the teacher or the mother and father. He means law. He means once there's been a physical altercation where somebody is hurt or could have been hurt or whatever, you know, hands are laid on someone else with the act of violence in mind, then it needs to be given right over to the police. And I think that's where he's at with that. And he's more or less concentrating, from what I understand. But I do have that. It's funny that you brought that up because I do have, I think that's what he's talking about, getting the police involved, calling the, you know, that the school can't be responsible for some of those things. And one of the things that is his driving force, of course, is that he lives in that area and he sees how much time is has to be allotted for the daily research on who did who and what did what.
You're taking
men and women who are there to teach kids reading, writing, and arithmetic away from that and giving them the load of making sure that they do, you know, due diligence and make sure that this one is to blame or that one isn't to blame or whatever the case might be, and then establish suitable punishment. And then at the end of the day, like he says, then they all hate each other even more. And usually parents get involved, then parents hate each other. Then parents hate the teachers and the school. The teachers and the school are feeling on overload and feeling this is not what I came in to do. I love math. I want to teach these eighth graders math so they see it from a different, you know, they had dreams, I'm sure.
Right.
About how they were going to teach young people. And now it's turned into, no, I get to be, you know, Barney Fife.
They feel like a warden. They start feeling like a warden, like all they're going in there is to, like, keep the peace when they want to be a teacher.
It's more like, I just said, like Barney Fife. You remember Barney Fife?
Yes.
On Mayberry? Who was allowed to carry one bullet in his shirt pocket, but he was never allowed to put it in his gun? Well, that's who they're making them into, a Barney Fife, because they really have no power either.
Right.
So you make them in, you make all of them into Barney Fifes when they really want to be something a lot more important and make a lot bigger investment in our children. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things I like about Izzy's approach, especially because of the fact that he does have training available to teachers and parents.
Yeah, I love that.
And the adults that can make a difference. I mean, that was something that Daniel reacted to the other night. He was very excited about that. But if this can become more commonplace throughout the country, if we can start seeding this throughout the schools, if the teachers go through this training and, number one, recognize when bullying is happening, when it's just starting to happen, and nip it in the bud for both the bullier and the bullied, then you're going to have situations, you're going to have a couple of benefits from that. Number one, you're going to enable both those individuals of fixing their individual problems, because we've already discussed that the one who's doing the bullying is having as many problems as the one who's being bullied, otherwise they wouldn't be a bully to begin with. You know, a happy balanced person isn't mean to somebody else. So there's something wrong there that's making that person act that way. So now you're helping two individuals, you're uplifting them, and they're going to grow up to be adults and who are going to be able to help other people with that, because it's kind of like a trickle-down effect, is that once they're stabilized and they start controlling their own behavior, they're not going to be tolerant of seeing it in other people. So it's going to be kind of like a grassroots effort of each individual that they help is going to then turn around and be part of the solution. So it's just starting now, but the potential for this is huge. It's absolutely huge where it can go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what he's trying to stop, though, is the involvement of the teachers and the parents. And I could be wrong about this, but after everything I've read and after talking to him and everything, I get the feeling that his real goal is to get the kids in the right place so that they don't need our interference, so that they can turn a situation around without any involvement, which increases their social aptitude, increases their wisdom, increases their understanding of humanity, and makes them better people, period. He, I think, would like to see us and the kids doing this stuff on their own and leaving the adults, who often convolute the whole scenario, right out of the picture.
Right, but my point is, with the training for the teachers and the adults, a lot of kids that are going through this stuff are so enmeshed in it, they're not going on the internet and Googling bullying. First of all, the person who's committing the bullying certainly doesn't even realize he has an issue and that he should be trying to, or she, that they need to fix
mm-hmm.
it.
Right.
And a lot of times, the person who's being bullied is overwhelmed. So if you have a parent or a teacher that sees this happening, they can direct them to some of Izzy's material.
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Absolutely, absolutely.
That's why I'm talking about the training he does. It's not that the parent or teacher is going to fix the issue. They're going to teach the kids how to fix the issue for themselves. So it's the same thing, whether it comes from Izzy directly or the kids find the website or they get the information through the teachers or their parents, okay, that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm talking about, that they become
mm-hmm.
aware of how to do it for themselves. That's why I was saying it's going to empower them. It's going to make them now a person that's going to be part of the solution and not part of the problem anymore, because
mm-hmm.
they're going to heal through their own experiences by rising above it.
Absolutely.
So,
well, and
that's what I was getting at.
That's the perfect scenario, obviously, to let them. I mean, it's such a wonderful feeling when you feel empowered by your own
mm-hmm.
self, not by somebody else, not by what someone has given you, not by what someone has told you you're allowed to do now. It's a personal achievement, and if it's done the way it needs to be done, it is incredible. I mean, every time something happens in my life, and as old as I am, there are still times when I need some empowerment as well. I need to feel not helpless, not like I can't do anything about what's going on. I have to feel like I can do something about it. And when you can do that for yourself, it's wonderful. But sometimes somebody has to even just remind you, you know, you can fix this. You're just not really wanting to yet. And once you realize that and step into that other place, it's amazing. It's really amazing. And I think that his game plan and his offer to bring these kids into his realm and to actually teach them on several of the things that I've read already, he talks about what he's willing to do for the kids. Matter of fact, New Jersey, you desperately need to be saved from the ravages of your well-intentioned but counterproductive anti-bullying law. At my own time and expense, I will be happy to demonstrate that you can quickly and easily achieve a dramatic reduction in bullying through education rather than law enforcement. Please contact me and we can set up a trial study. I mean, what else can a single person do? What else?
Wow. That was remarkable.
Yeah.
When was that sent out?
Well, there's no date, but it's one of the many things that he's printed and put out there. He sent me everything that he's printed and has been passed out. And I think this might have even been in the paper, how New Jersey can reduce bullying with no extra budget.
Wow.
This was published on January 31st, 2012. And it's called The Psychological Solution to Bullying.
I love it.
Well, I mean, you know, what else can anybody ask of an individual? You know, it's one thing to, you know, talk the talk, but when you're ready to walk the walk, then most of the time people listen. And as he said, he still runs into lots of brick walls, and that's why he was happy to meet us, because he's quite thrilled that we get it. And of course, I'm very thrilled that we found him, because I do believe these are the answers. And I don't think they're simple, and I don't think they'll be accomplished overnight, but I do think they show more light at the end of the tunnel than any one other thing that we've found or looked at or heard of.
Oh, yeah. And because what you just talked about, because it goes into empowering the individual. And once you feel, because that's what I used to talk about when I was talking about the martial arts and stuff. Not so that the kids would go there and start beating up the people that were bullying them. That wasn't the point of it at all. But when you gain that sense of confidence about yourself that you know you could if you had to, it's empowering, and it actually reduces violence because the person has an air of confidence around them, and if somebody steps up to try to bully them and they step back towards them and they, you know, and they're just very confident, they have a smile on their face, the person that was going to do something, like 99.9% of the time, is going to walk away now. Because now they're not getting that same timid response. They're like, oh, there's something different happening here. And it actually stops violence. It doesn't perpetuate it. And so it's the same thing. Something like this, if you're empowering somebody to understand, you know, how to deal with the situation better and to feel safer and to feel at ease with themselves, that's really important, feeling just simply at ease in situations. And that's what happens when you empower somebody to feel that confidence. You know, that they can go into a situation and they don't feel vulnerable anymore, you know.
Right.
And it's
you know, I can tell a story about when I was like, I think I was 18. I was in a bar, a place with a big band and everything. We were all sitting in a booth. There was a whole bunch of us. And I had danced with this guy. And come back over and sat down, and this girl comes over, and she goes, you, outside. And I went, excuse me? And she said, you heard me, outside. And I was scared to death. No lie, I was scared to death because she looked tough as hell, and I thought to myself, I'm not a fighter, you know. I'm big enough to be a fighter, but it's really not my forte. And I stood up. I said, okay. And I acted like I wasn't scared at all. And we walked out around the table, and everybody's giving me these looks like, oh, my God, Renee, what are you doing? And I thought to myself, who the hell knows what I'm doing? I'm just not going to sit there and let her scream at me and tell me to come outside and just sit there. You know, what will everybody think? I'm a big baby, right? So I walked outside with her. We got outside, and I just stood there looking at her, and I said, what? Why did you bring me outside? And she stood there and looked at me for a couple minutes and changed her mind. She was all set to do whatever to me, and when she realized I wasn't afraid, it just stopped. And until the other night when we talked about that, I'd forgotten that. It was so, so very long ago. And yet, I remember how afraid I was, but I didn't want anybody to think I was afraid. So my own vanity probably saved my butt. And she and I ended up being friends through the years. I mean, in years to come, there were many times when I had to put her in her place. And I guess from that night, I always had her respect. So there was never any problem. But it's so funny. I haven't thought about that in years. But that's exactly how it worked for me. And when I tell you I was afraid, believe me, I was afraid. It wasn't about feeling real gutsy or thinking I wasn't going to have any problems. I thought I might be going outside to get, you know, new teeth. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I just stood my ground and went out there and said, what? You know, like, and it worked out very nicely for me. So I can really understand where Izzy's coming from when he talks about having the wisdom to know that not everybody really wants to fight you. Not everybody really, really wants to start trouble with you, but they're in a weird place and they do stupid things, and sometimes if you call them on it, you stop them dead in their tracks.
Well, you know, I have several, but I'll tell one real quick. I have a similar story like that to further kind of validate this point. I was in high school. I think I was in 10th grade, and I was in a chemistry class, and this one girl, for whatever reason, I never did find out why, she was a sister of a friend of mine. She just took a dislike to me, and we had worked in the chemistry lab together. And I even asked her a couple of times why she didn't like me, but she started threatening me. And she would call me at least 2 to 3 times a week. She had my phone number. She would call me to tell me that she was going to, as she put it, take me out. And I was like,
wow.
Why are you even upset with me about it? She would never answer me. And this went on for about a month. Finally, I'm walking home one day. I was about maybe a mile and a half from my house. I'm walking, and here she comes with her girlfriend. And they're on the same side of the street as I am. And I'm like, okay. And she's with her friend, and I'm all by myself. And I'm saying, well, you know what? Let's get this over and done with, because I'm curious as hell. I don't even know why she's pissed off at me. So I didn't even break my stride. I kept walking towards her. And like you, it wasn't that I wasn't afraid, because I didn't know what was going to happen, 2-on-1, you know, and she was bigger than me and really could have done some damage. So as I got up there, she crossed the street. Her and her friend crossed the street about a block away. And I was just absolutely stunned. I was flabbergasted. And I turned around and I looked at them, and I cracked up laughing. And she turned around and saw me laughing and then just kept on walking. And I never heard from her again. She never called me again. Never another problem. And that was it. And that ended. But I stood my ground. And like you said, it's not that I wasn't afraid, but it's like I wanted it over with. Like, okay, what? You know, what are you upset about? I never did anything to you. And that ended it. And then nothing ever came of it after that. You know?
Yeah.
So that sounds
really, really true. I mean, for me, it's all about, you know, it's all about being able to face your fears, and often your fears are not anything to be afraid of. Often they're the things that you've actually built up in your own head, and when you really face them, they don't amount to much of anything. And
you know, one of the things I thought about years later after that happened, I wonder what would have happened if I had crossed the street first. I used to think about that, because it would have showed them that I was afraid. The fact that I never broke my stride and kept going right at them unnerved her, I'm sure. But I'm wondering what would have happened if I had crossed the street to try and avoid them. I wonder if
Would have chased you the rest of your high school days.
She probably
would have thought she had you on the run, and she would have never had to even touch you. But she would have gotten some joy out of just, you know, thinking that you were thinking that she had the upper hand. And a lot of times that is all that it is. You know, it's just about what they think they've done to you and what you allow them to think. And
what
so it works against you and it works for you, right? I mean, you know, if you turn it around like what Izzy says we should do, then it works for you. And again, you know, I want to touch on this again. Some of you this doesn't suit, and I get that. Some of you are sweet and gentle and kind, and you haven't done anything, and you think by just being sweet and gentle and kind that they'll eventually leave you alone. But really what happens is they decide that because you are sweet and gentle and kind that they can lord it over you. So a part of it has to do with that. And I don't I don't have the right kind of words or advice to give to people who are in that place, but maybe some of the other things that we've shared on some of the other shows, such as other friends, like the one young girl, or classes to build your courage and things like that would help you. But I do get, I don't want anybody thinking that we think we have all the answers now, because we don't. And together, though, we will keep finding more. It's time to go. I want to say I love you all. Thank you, my Shelley. And from my heart to yours, everybody, good night. I love you and God bless. Night, Shell.
Good night, Rainey. Good night, everyone.